because we are preparing for a historical event. And the people here have asked Mr. Harney, Corbin Harney, to lead us out, to bring our minds together. So we'd like to thank him for his wisdom, his knowledge. He holds a lot of the prayers of the people here. Back home, we call them the holy people. They have responsibilities. So I'm really honored to be asked to help moderate. We got some speakers who have agreed to speak. And I'm the director of the Indigenous Environmental Network. We have many affiliates and people throughout Turtle Island. 1990, they said, we need to have a voice to represent the traditional people about what's going on here, what's going on in the Kachin Arctic Village, what's going on in all over Turtle Island. And they wanted to form a network as Indigenous people on environment. So many of my travels, I'm the eyes and ears of many people that could not be here. So I'm accountable to a lot of people, things that I say on behalf of our network. And we have a long-standing position on this issue of radiation and toxics here, militarization, protection of the grazing rights and the rights of the Western Shoshone people, opposition to mining and extraction. So it's the people who are here who give us the mandate. And many of you, they are thankful for you being here. So before we go on, I wanted to recognize in our Native way, our Indigenous way, before we go on with the speakers, some of our staff. Some of you be asking, who are these people with the staff? Say a few things. We have a microphone here for people. Can people hear me? Okay.
That's better.
But, yes, so I guess I can use this mic. But I'm going to recognize the staff holders here first, and before we go on, Jimbo, maybe.
My name is, I call myself, I have a colonial Christian name, but I go by Jimbo. I'm here representing the International Indian Treaty Council, an organization that's working to protect the rights of indigenous peoples throughout this world where our people are gathered at. And I'm here representing many people that could not be here today. They're traveling, they're meeting at different places. The staff that I have here was one of our staffs during the longest walk. And it was given to the International Indian Treaty Council to take care of. So since that walk, we've been bringing this staff to wherever occupations, wherever we go, to many of the protests. Of course, the ribbon represents the four colors, the buffalo hair, the hawk, the eagle. This morning or yesterday when I left San Francisco, I was going to bring our drum too. We have a drum that we carry all over. We take all everywhere. It's been all over four corners of the earth. But yesterday I had to take that drum and I took it to Pitt River in Burney, California, where one of our leaders, one of our board members, the directors of our organization, named Mickey Gimmo, who passed away this Wednesday. And right now, last night was his wake. This morning at 10 o'clock was the services. After services, he's going to be taken to Big Bend and Pitt Riverland. And that's where he will be interned. But I know that he would be here. I know that he would want us to be here and carry on the work that needs to be done. And that's why I'm here today, to show our support and our solidarity with each and every one of you, whatever we decide to do. And again, it's an honor to be here. I'm a Choctaw from Oklahoma. And I've been working with the International Indian Treaty Council for 30 years now. I remember when Corbin went to Geneva in 1977. I remember when the Dans were struggling in the 70s. So our history is very, very long history, and a very long struggle. Many sacrifices our people have given today so we could be here today. But one sacrifice, and one that I always like to think about, is the spirit of resistance, the spirit of our ancestors, is still here amongst us in this land, and as my elders were talking about this morning, all the living, the creation here. So today we're gonna ask that creation to help us. And that's what some of these staffs are for. Because maybe we forgot who we are individually. But these staffs have elements of who we are. Like I said, the buffalo, the feathers. So today, it's an honor to be here and be with you. Just want to remember our brother, Mickey Gimmo, who struggled with us for many years, traveled. And today, as we walk, think about all those that's gone before us. And we walk in honor of those that continue to struggle. We walk in honor of this land and the people here of this land, so we can pass this way of life on to our future generations. And I want to thank you. Sorry.
Thank you, Jimbo. Our next person we're going to recognize is this staff keeper here. And then we're not denying the flag of the Western Shoshone Nation, because we're going to introduce some of the people here from the council. Tupac.
Amishpan Cinco, Amishlamatke, Nicantlaca, Tlawislampa, Shoshone, Nicantlaca, Abiyala, Nicantlaca, Europe, Nicantlaca, of the continents of this Mother Earth, that we have come today once again, Tlasokamati, Yololisli, Tlatipak, Tonantzintlali, with the grace of the Mother Earth. There's a certain time in 1994 as well, along the tracks of the trails of the memory of this movement, and it occurred in the south from here. They call it the land of the Mayalum, but according to geographies of the government, they're going to say Chiapas, and they're going to call it within what is known as the Central America or Mexico. And as we know then, there was many stories told about the way things would be accounted for, how accountability would be made known, how it would be done. And all of those counts were compiled and commemorated and celebrated and put into a ceremony. And that's why we, at the same time, when they came down from there, they had this one. And for some, it's only something they barely saw it when it was coming out of the mountains, and then it fall off a tree, and then they put it into a little stake, and they made instead of a metal fence post, it was a fence post on a fence. But this time when he traveled, he come to fulfill a prophecy that said they were challenging him, like here, the governments. This was the Nicantlaca that they call the Maya. They were at this challenging of a government, in this case, Mexico government. Only Mexico government is being armed from this side over here. And they said, we will not listen to your issues. We will not address your concerns. We will not. We will falling on deaf ears. Only, they said, when the trees walk, then that's when we're going to have to listen to you. The trees are walking. The trees are singing. And what's being told is the same original story. Somewhere in there, there's a memory. Somewhere up there is a dream. And this one is the Pilhuan. It belongs to a whole family of a confederation of the same and similar related relatives of this principle, of this memory and this dream. They call it the Abiyala. They call it the Continental Confederation of the Nations. This one, he's only one of it, one of the most simple and most humble of it. They came today to deliver a message of a proclamation to the Western Shoshone. This is the messenger to take it and to bring it. The messenger was delivered before the national, international, and the community of the nations at the United Nations 2 weeks ago at Permanent Forum Indigenous Issues. The proclamation Abiyala, Continental Proclamation Abiyala, which states that the doctrine of discovery is annulled, which states that the papal bull of 1493, Intercetera, Alexander VI, it's annulled. And so today from now, as we walk from here, it's implementation time. When they were accounting and recounting in their calendar, the Mayas, they looked at it real good. They looked at the fire. And they made certain indications, they made certain guidance to tell us what time it was going to be happening, what time things were going to be revealed. And this is it.
To ask Mr. John Wells come up. I think you also have some other members to...
Yeah. You all here? In 1853, the United States... and the Western Shoshone Nation entered into a treaty.
Can you finish?
A treaty of peace and friendship. That's how it was titled. It doesn't cede land. It doesn't sell land. We weren't conquered. It is two nations recognizing each other in peace, with understanding and obligations to both. One of the obligations that the Shoshone agreed to to allow the United States to travel through our land, to mine, to farm, to ranch, to create communities, to build a railroad and a telegraph. Nowhere does it say bury nuclear waste over there in Yucca Mountain. Nowhere does it say test atomic weapons. Nowhere does it say dedicate a bomb to God, divine strength, and throw this radioactive dirt into the air. And that's why we are glad to see all you here coming to I guess now celebrate the cancellation of that blast. I'd like to read something. On March 9th, Geneva, Switzerland, in a historic and strongly worded decision, the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, CERD, the United States was urged to freeze, resist, and stop actions being taken or threatened to be taken against the Western Shoshone Nation. In its decision made public on March 10th, CERD stressed the nature and urgency of the Shoshone situation, informing the U.S. that it goes well beyond the normal reporting process. The committee gave the United States a July 15, 2006 deadline to provide it with information on the action it had taken. The decision issued today demonstrates a solid commitment by the United Nations human rights system to make the Western Shoshone struggle a priority. Again, our treaty did not cede any of this territory. It wasn't bought from us. It wasn't taken by any law recognized by Congress. What the United States says is they obtained this land by gradual encroachment. You can see, looking around you, drive from Las Vegas to Reno. The land is so filled with U.S. citizens that there's hardly room for another person, let alone the Shoshone. That's gradual encroachment. It's not the Constitution. It's not in the laws. U.S. courts have said the Treaty of Ruby Valley is in full force and effect. This decision by the United Nations strongly suggest that the United States recognize that treaty and cease and desist those actions which threaten the Western Shoshone people. This threatens us. Confiscating cattle from our ranchers threatens us because we don't pay them fees to graze on our land. We are a sovereign state. That's how we see ourselves. That's how the United States recognizes us. Often I've been asked, are you a recognized tribe? No. Recognized tribes were created by the United States of America in 1934 through the Indian Reorganization Act. The Western Shoshone Nation was recognized as a sovereign state by the United States of America in 1863. Two nations agreeing to a treaty. Treaties that are ratified by Congress and signed by a sitting president. That is the law.
Speak here this morning, but they asked me to talk, so I guess I want to touch on a little bit of what John talked about on the decision. You know, when the people that before us that have been fighting this fight, such as Kerry, Dan, Pauline, and Steve's, and elders before that, Frank, Timoke, and them. You know, we're just following their steps and going on with this struggle, you know, because this land is Western Shoshone land, and like John has said, we've never ceded it, never sold it, and that's why we've gone to the UN on the human rights issue, because you know, there's no due process of law, no right to property, right to the court systems with Indian people. I mean, it's just totally racially discriminatory. So that's the things we've been facing over there in the U.S. here. Anyways, I also want to touch on what Corbin was talking about, because, you know, that's why we're here, is for the land and for Mother Earth and the water and the air and what's around us. I mean, we're taking care of that not only for ourselves, but for our future. And for what's out there on the land, what's growing on the land, what's living on the land, and what's under the land, and stuff like that. As my father's told me a long time, you know, that the water's all connected, and we've said that all along. As we've been meeting with DOE, we've said the water's all connected with throughout Nevada and all this area when they're doing the process of trying to get the nuclear waste stored in Yucca Mountain. And the hydrologist came back one time and said, you know what, the water's all connected. And we said, you know, that's what we've been telling you all along. I mean, our stories go back and tell us that, you know, because they've put things into springs and they've come out in other areas. And, you know, my father can attest to that very, very good. So, you know, we need to, you know, think about what we're doing. And us as human beings and people, you know, we have you know, the power to create and to, you know, kind of manage the lands and take care of for the animals, for the land and this and that. And we also have the power to destroy and to cause damage. And I guess, you know, with this divine strike, I mean, that shows where the bad spirits can take us, or maybe the devil's taking us that way, where we're going to destroy our mother to create these massive bombs to cause damage. And it's really bad, you know, because all the nuclear testing that's gone on out here, I think Shoshone country has been bombed more than any other country in the world. And, you know, that's something that, you know, people need to realize, that our country's just, you know, it's been nuked more than any other land around.
And as Corbin's talked about with the animals, I mean, there's stories of the animals running off this test site when they were doing nuclear testing with their hair falling off and birds falling from the air and this and that. And, you know, we've seen the effects of the nuclear waste already with our people, you know, getting cancers and other diseases. But we've also watched the decline of our animals. We've don't see those big herds that the old people talk about. And even in my time, we've seen them disappearing from what man has done when we need to think about, you know, what we need to take care of. But anyways, I want to thank everybody for coming out. Really appreciate the support, and I know everybody's concerned on what this bomb can do to everybody, so we need to get going and do this thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have another speaker who's representing Congressman Shelley Berkeley's office, Marsha Bolea.
Hi there, everybody. My name is Marsha Bolea, and I'm an active participant in progressive politics, and I'm also representing Shelley Berkeley today. She sent a message here, and I'm going to read that message. Dear friends, I commend each of you and your organizations for outstanding work challenging the Department of Energy and the Department of Defense to prove the safety and objectives of the Divine Strike test. Because of your efforts, it is apparent that federal agencies failed in all aspects of preparation for the test, from inadequate health and safety studies to suspicious purposes to an outrageous disinformation campaign. I joined you in sounding the public alarm about Divine Strike. And while I cannot be with you today at the test site, I join you in the spirit of celebration of your successful effort on behalf of truth and accountability. The Nevada test site continues to have a role in our national security. But gone are the days that operations could be conducted without placing the health and welfare of the public and environmental impacts at the top of the priority list. Best wishes to all on your day of action. Sincerely, Shelley Berkeley. And I want to thank you all for being here and being here for me. Thank you.
Maybe it might be good to shake the hands over here of some of the members right over there. That's good.
Who are in St. George, and Michelle was going to come. Unfortunately, Michelle's in the hospital. But I would like to read this that the three of them came up with. Friday's news of another postponement of Divine Strike cautiously eased some of the terrible dread that has lived inside of me since I first learned of the proposed blast. An awful sense of deja vu and fear for my children and grandchildren has been eating at my soul. Divine Strike has renewed nightmare memories of decades of suffering from what we downwinders were repeatedly assured was safe fallout, and our equally devastating battles for some justice for our people. So far this victorious round, I say a joyful, if tentative, hallelujah. To everyone past and present who have fought the battle, thanks. Has testing made us feel safer? No. It has killed far too many of us and damaged us in untold other ways. This should never be tolerated in a free democracy. To kill and maim an unknowing and unwilling portion of the citizens in the name of security. Many, if not most of us, would be willing to put ourselves on the line for our country, if asked. But we are not willing to sacrifice our grandchildren, our environment, and untold future generations, and certainly not without full disclosure, precautions, and aftercare. Can the testing officials really guarantee that Divine Strike will be safe? No, not from the studies they have done so far. The blast must not happen until adequate, honest studies are completed and verified by competent, independent scientists that innocent citizens will not be hurt. Is the battle won? Well, yes and no. Yes, the citizens have won this skirmish. No, when dealing with the government and its weapons makers, the battle is never won. We might take a skirmish or two, but then they redefine the fight
and we have to watch our backs because they circle around on us and hit us from behind. Remember the MX missile racetrack plan? We stopped the racetrack, thank goodness, but then they turned around and deployed the MX anyway, in silos. Divine Strike is a rearguard action to slip new generations of nuclear weapons in the back door, along with the new renewed testing they will entail. Watch out for the rhetoric and public relations. Will we quit? Hell no. We love our country, our homes, and democracy too much to ever give them up. And we love our families, neighbors, and friends too much to allow them to be sacrificed to a divine strike. Thank you on behalf of these three women.
Magic, magic. Indefinite postponement, that's what they call it, right, Julie? Indefinite postponement. But do we believe that? We're going to stand united, right? We're going to stand united, right? We're not going to be defeated. All right. Because before we end here, we got some other speakers. We're going to put our minds together and prepare when we walk down there. So there's some protocols that have some people have to read here on how we're going to be conducting ourselves down there. So the next speaker is Andrew Lichterman from the Western States Legal Foundation, right? Western States Legal Foundation.
Good afternoon. Now, I know some of you have been traveling and probably haven't gotten a chance, if you have computers, to take a look at them and see the latest that the government has put out about Divine Strike. I had the press release from the National Nuclear Security Administration forwarded to me by a reporter. And they referred to the test as being delayed, while they explained better to the public the significance of levels of background radiation, and I'm paraphrasing here, but this is pretty close, from nuclear tests that were conducted by several countries in the Northern Hemisphere. There was no reference to the fact that 100 atmospheric tests and 800 plus underground tests were conducted right here at this test range. So we continue to get the level of openness we have come to expect from the United States government. And I want to talk about some of the other things the government has said about this test, the series of careful non-denial denials that they have made about the purposes of this test. For example, they've said it isn't a nuclear test. Well, it's not. And they've said that it's not linked to any particular weapons design effort, and it probably isn't. But these are really very careful half-truths. There's a whole lot of nuclear planning and development, technology development going on that envisions the use of small numbers of nuclear weapons, and that aims to make them more usable by crafting both nuclear weapons and delivery systems to allow the use of nuclear weapons with the lowest possible yields. And the part of this work that's gotten the most attention is the work and proposals for work on the warheads themselves. There's been a lot of controversy in Congress over the last couple of years over low-yield nuclear weapons and earth penetrators and the like. But the United States is also working to improve the systems that deliver the nuclear weapons to their targets. They're upgrading the existing missiles and bombers. At the same time, they're planning the next generation of strategic weapons, including new missiles and bombers and perhaps new kinds of weapons that will be able to deliver either conventional or nuclear weapons anywhere on Earth within a matter of hours. And in the long run, it is these developments that are likely to be seen by other countries as more threatening than incremental changes in the design of nuclear bombs and warheads. And in addition, and this is getting very little attention, the military is upgrading the computers and software it uses to plan and execute nuclear strikes. And this is the part of this broader effort that Divine Strike is part of. Budget documents describe the program that includes Divide Strike as intended to, quote, develop a planning tool that will improve the warfighter's confidence in selecting the smallest proper nuclear yield necessary to destroy underground facilities while minimizing collateral damage. It's about planning for smaller strikes with lower yield nuclear weapons. And at the same time, the government is, as they claim, working to make conventional weapons more effective against a broad range of targets. But what they're not talking about is the relationship between these two things. There's a lot of overlap between the technology development that would allow the use of conventional weapons to more effectively destroy things and the technology development that would allow the use of reduced yield nuclear weapons should conventional weapons not do the job. So achieving greater accuracy for the delivery systems, for example, or understanding how to make weapons penetrate into the ground better, both of those things could reduce the amount of energy, however you get it, that you need to destroy a particular kind of target. But if the energy needed can only be provided by nuclear weapons, the military still plans to use them. So we have the commander of U.S. Strategic Command that's in charge of U.S. strategic weapons saying, it's more than just precision. I can't generate enough energy for some of these targets to destroy them. So I'm not leading you down a path that I can get rid of nuclear weapons. And he also said, my priority is not reduced yield. It's to take the accuracy to the point where the conventional can substitute for nuclear. That's my first priority. My second point is if I can't get more precise or the energy's not enough for the conventional explosion, then we go again to the lower yield discussion. And by this, he meant lower yield nuclear weapons. Now, when we're talking about one aspect or another of these vast U.S. military programs, it's real easy to get caught up in the details and in debates over the meaning of one or another particular test, one or another particular research program or weapon system. But what's important is not the details, but the kind of intentions that they manifest. The 2002 National Security Strategy called for a permanent program of arms research and production sufficient to discourage any other country in the world from even trying to equal the military power of the United States. Those in power in this country have decided to wager all of our futures on the permanent pursuit of high-tech military advantage. And as we enter now another larger round of military budget requests, another more dangerous round of military threats supposedly to counter weapons of mass destruction, this time against Iran, the questions being asked in the mainstream U.S. debate remain largely confined to how best to pursue military dominance in service of what really is a global empire. And I've been coming out to places like this for decades now, test sites, nuclear weapons laboratories, and weapons plants. And the magnitude of the danger that nuclear weapons pose for humanity and for the planet is undiminished. Thousands remain deployed around the world, still more than enough to destroy most of human civilization in a day or two, and to devastate the web of life on this planet in ways that would change it forever. Yet at the same time, the range of debate in this country over what we can do about these terrible weapons, what we're told we can hope for or should talk about in the way of disarmament, seems always to grow smaller and smaller. Today, there are few on the national political stage who are even willing to mention nuclear disarmament, real disarmament, despite the fact that the U.S. has these thousands of nuclear weapons and is spending billions every year to modernize them and to study new ways to use them. Almost all talk about nuclear weapons is about how to keep other countries from getting them. And the main focus of debate about U.S. nuclear weapons is not over getting rid of this huge and diverse nuclear arsenal that we have, but over whether building new kinds of nuclear weapons will better serve a declared goal of global military dominance, or whether we can do it just fine with the nuclear weapons we have, or maybe some new, more accurate and destructive conventional weapons in the mix. The goal of military dominance itself is hardly debated at all. The range of respectable discussion is limited to the least risky and expensive ways to achieve it. And, you know, as I struggle with this and how to respond not only to the real crisis that we're in this country, but to the lack of a visible and principled opposition in the mainstream, in the people we hear from on TV and in the newspapers. I often turn back to the work of Martin Luther King, and I find his words every bit as compelling now as when they were spoken those decades ago, and perhaps more so in this barren political landscape we have in the present, where few are willing to go beyond challenging a particular military program, or at most, a particular war. And in his Beyond Vietnam speech, King said, "True compassion is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It is not haphazard and superficial. It comes to see that an edifice which produces beggars needs restructuring. A true revolution of values will soon look uneasily on the glaring contrast of poverty and wealth. With righteous indignation, it will look across the seas and see individual capitalists of the West investing huge amounts of money in Asia, Africa, and South America, only to take the profits out with no concern for the social betterment of those countries and say, this is not just. It will look at our alliance with the landed gentry of Latin America and say, this is not just. The Western arrogance of feeling that it has everything to teach others and nothing to learn from them is not just. A true revolution of values will lay hands on the world order and say of war, this way of settling differences is not just. This business of burning human beings with napalm, of filling our nation's homes with orphans and widows, of injecting poisonous drugs of hate into the veins of people normally humane, of sending men home from dark and bloody battlefields, physically handicapped and psychologically deranged, cannot be reconciled with wisdom, justice, and love. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death." And there is a less known, King speech I often come back to, which he delivered at the National Cathedral in Washington on March 31st, 1968, 4 days before his death. The same day Lyndon Johnson, the nation split, and his presidency in crisis due to the Vietnam War, announced he was not going to seek re-election. This was also 3 months before the United States, together with the Soviet Union and the United Kingdom, signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, in which they promised, well over three decades ago now, to negotiate the early cessation of the arms race and the elimination of their nuclear arsenals. King said that day, "It's no longer a choice, my friends, between violence and nonviolence. It's either nonviolence or non-existence. And the alternative to disarmament, the alternative to a greater suspension of nuclear tests, the alternative to strengthening the United Nations and thereby disarming the whole world may well be to a civilization plunged into the abyss of annihilation, and our earthly habitat would be transformed into an inferno that even the mind of Dante cannot imagine." And King also offered some thoughts on the criticism he was taking then for speaking out against war. You know, he said, "A newsman came to me and said, 'Dr. King, don't you think you're going to have to stop now opposing the war and move more in line with the administration's policy? As I understand it, it has hurt the budget of your organization, and people who once respected you have lost respect for you.'" And in reply to views of these kind, King said, "On some positions, cowardice asks the question, 'Is it expedient?' And then expedience comes along and asks the question, 'Is it politic?' Vanity asks the question, 'Is it popular?' Conscience asks the question, 'Is it right?' Social movements, ordinary people, acting together by the millions, are the only force that can change history for the better. Our role is not to cut deals in Washington or even to think about what deals can be cut. Our task is to change the terrain on which the whole debate takes place, to move the boundaries of what is politically possible, even if it takes years or decades or lifetimes. We have to be willing to stand up and say now, clearly and loudly, that we don't want any nuclear weapons. We don't want any more missiles. We don't want the endless wars that those who profit from war are trying to sell us. And in the end, we have to be willing to say that we don't want to be an empire." Thank you.
Weapons of mass destruction. Many of our indigenous people know what that is, from the smallpox-infested blankets that was given to our people. Also the Gatling gun. Some of our people remember that Gatling gun that just mutilated our people and our villages from Sand Creek to Wounded Knee. Many areas, this Gatling gun and what it represents, the mentality of people, a weapon that tears into the flesh of our people. Or now we have this invisible contamination and what they do, the mentality of an industrialized society that has lost its teachings of what its relationship is to the earth. And that's why our elders have always reminded all of us, no matter what culture, no matter what race, what class, is never forget what is your relationship to the sacredness of Mother Earth. To ask yourself that question, what is your relationship to the sacredness of Mother Earth? And to have responsibilities to take care of our Mother Earth. So I want to say that as an introduction to one of our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunties, our sisters, is Carrie Dan. She was asked to be one of the speakers. So Carrie, if you can come up here. Knowing her, she'll probably ask Julie to come stand behind her. So I'm just saying that, Julie, be ready. She'll probably ask you to stand right behind her. So let's go give a hand of applause to Carrie.
Thank you. I guess we'll call this Indian time, which is any time. I don't know what time, whether it's morning or afternoon. But anyway, good day, all. First of all, I want to thank all of you for coming out here and to stand up against the new type of weaponry called Divine Strike. And I don't know why they call it divine. Anytime you use a weapon of destruction, why is it divine? My understanding, divine means holy. Is it a holy destruction? Is that what they're after? I don't know. Seems strange. However, as we look at the history of this place, it's a weapon test, nuclear weapon test, above ground and underground. And they try to tell you that, you know, underground explosion doesn't vent. Certainly it does vent sometimes or the other. When you put that much energy in something, it's got to vent. It's a common, you know, maybe us people that are not scientists know that. But anyway, as we look at this and we look at Divine Strike, you know, it's a weapon of destruction. Guess one of my questions will always be, who's it supposed to be for? Who are they going to use it against? Or is it just another way to say, hey, we're going to do more nuclear testing? Is that what it's for? Sometimes I believe that's what it is. An excuse to do more nuclear testing, whether it's below ground or above ground. It's just another excuse to go on with the nuclear destruction. They call it, you know, before they went into Iraq, what did they say? Weapon of mass destruction. I think nuclear testing is weapon of mass destruction. Nuclear testing means end of life as we know it. Not only for us that's here in the Western Hemisphere, but also all globally, all over the world. Because as all of this bad energy, the nuclear, go around the world, it affects everybody. It even affects a future generation. That is one of the things that the indigenous people always think about, is the future generation. It is supposed to be our job to see that the world that they come into is safe and sound. That is the job of the indigenous people, is to see that the earth is kept clean, the environment is clean. Because we're always told to think about the future generations that's yet to come. Your children, your grandchildren, the great grandbabies that's yet to be here. I don't see the political leaders talking about the future generations. I see some of the political leaders, all they think about is how much money are we going to make off of this program, or how much money are we going to make off of, you know, some kind of destructive programs that they're doing. It's all based on money. It's not based on life. It's not based on love. It's not based on peace. It's based on money. How much money can the multinational corporations make? And I also believe that the national corporations control your government, the government of the United States. It controls the politicians. And I would say again, you know, I don't see many politicians out here with us today. I don't see them standing with us. We had a word from Miss Berkeley from out of Las Vegas. That's not enough. Where's Senator Reid, Ensign, Congressman Gibbons? Where are they? Do they like to see the nuclear program start again? Do they want to see this divine strike being tested? If they're opposed to it, I would like to hear them say, we are opposed to it, period, and work on it. I think it's your duty to the citizens of the state of Nevada that these people, the politicians, work on something that is good for the state of Nevada, not only Nevada, but all people here in the Western Hemisphere. And I think that we as people, all of us that's here and all of our supporters, wherever they may be, that we are the ones that we are telling them, we are telling the arms industry, stop, no more, quit, we don't want this. And I believe that if we are going to have to live in a militarized world or be an empire or whatever you want to call it, it will happen as long as people don't get up and stand up and say, enough is enough. People have to say, enough is enough. People have to be educated enough to say, enough is enough. And let's start it here. Let's say, enough is enough, and let it go worldwide. That's what we need to do. Let it grow worldwide, not just here, but all over. In the United States, Canada, Mexico, Central and South America, Europe, Asia. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough!
And I would like to say a few more words for the people that's here. We appreciate your presence. We appreciate what you're doing. The Western Shoshone greatly appreciate all the work and energy that all of you, that all the different organizations have put into this gathering, which was probably organized within 2 to 3 weeks. You know, it hasn't been very long. And there's also, we are planning to do some individual actions in cities. When you go back to your own city, you know, do demonstrations against Divine Strike. Do demonstrations against further nuclear testing. That's about all I can say. And I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the Western Shoshone country. I hope that you enjoy yourselves and that everything will go fine with you. And have safe travel back home, wherever you come from. Thank you.
Yay, Carrie!
So what did she leave us? The words, enough is enough. Is there going to be a political will coming from this circle?
Yes.
And what is that political will in the statement?
Enough is enough.
In my travels, I've been fortunate to travel all over the world on these environmental justice issues and indigenous rights. And people always ask me, how come in America there's no political will to stand up to the government? But right here, I see there is political will. So what do you say?
Enough is enough.
Right. I was reminded by one of our relatives that comes from Wind River. You notice starting yesterday in a lot of the presentations from everyone here is the religious and the spiritual aspects of this work that we do. when there is a formation of our indigenous peoples coming together to have one voice and protecting the sacredness of our Mother Earth around the environment, recognizing racism in environmental protection, recognizing we need to have a network. One thing, as we went back home to consult with our spiritual leaders and our elders, they reminded us that our work, when you work for Mother Earth, is spiritual work. It's spiritual work, because these are some of the sacred elements that we depend on, that the earth depends on, the universe, the soil, the fires that we burn for understanding, the water that we need for life, and the air, the four sacred elements. So I was reminded to mention, when they do things like this, they do things not only of ignorance, because they've been told by our people that what they're doing is a violation of the principles of the natural laws of this universe, the natural laws that indigenous peoples understand. So when they do something like that, it disturbs the nature of the earth, but the water as well. And it will cause hurricanes. It will cause a lot of these things to happen. So we got to think about these things. For those of you that work in the federal laws and environmental laws, the standards, they do impact assessments. But one thing that they don't know how to do is how to quantify our spiritual and cultural values. So most environmental impact statements are flawed because they have not taken in consideration many of the testimonies and the voices that I've heard here the past 2 days. When we say this is spiritual and has value to us, their risk assessment managers do not know how to quantify that and put that into numbers. Okay? So what I also been asked to invite is Father Louis Vitale, and they wanted Corbin to come up over here, and Key. And this is our jailbird. He just got out of prison. He was at the school, they call it School of Democracy. These governments, they use code words. I was talking to some Haudenosaunee people, and they said that in the beginning, in the 17th, 16th century, they used code words as well. When they tried to bring the French, the Queen, the England, and the new colonies, they used code words back then too in their campaigns. So they're still doing the same thing. But we're not defeated. We're not confused. We can see through that divine strike and what it really is, like Carrie said. So I'm going to introduce these fine people here. They're working out their own protocols. You notice some people have a white armband, and we're going to talk about that. These are the peacekeepers. I was called a peacekeeper years ago by one of the warrior societies, and Jimbo sitting here, American Indian Movement. We've been out there protecting our people in these kind of direct actions. Our warrior societies are the peacekeepers. We are the peacekeepers. And we've got some other brothers here, Shannon, Tupac. So we're here to help. Anything we can do to help. I'm going to introduce Father Vitale up first.
Hello. We did an action at Fort Benning. And they have 19,000 people gathered there last November, but only about 39 or so crossed the line. It's a little hard to do there because you get 6 months in prison, the maximum for federal trespass. Sister Megan here, she's done that twice. She's been twice times 6 months in prison in her 70s. A septuagenarians. But why is it that the people, of course, don't cross the line? Because you get 6 months. What's the difference between there and here? The difference is because we flooded them here. One weekend we had 2,000 people arrested. Nye County didn't have enough room to put 2,000 people in prison, at least not to keep them there very long, not for 6 months. Muskogee County doesn't either in Georgia, but we don't get that many people. Here, people have had the courage to come here and to be willing to take that chance. And we just kept going and going and going and going. And between the resistance people, the peace camp people, the people that have come here over these years, I've been coming here since 68, but mostly we've been doing this since 82. The people that have kept coming and coming and coming have broken down their ability to put us in prison. They're afraid to do it. One or two of us, like Marcus and I, went out here not too long ago. We did end up half a day over there until Judge Sullivan found we were in jail again. And he said, oh my God, I don't want to start putting those peace people in here. You know, we're going to have real, real trouble, even though they have a new and bigger jail. And the persistence of the Shoshone Nation to continue to declare their sovereignty. That is what makes us able to be here and to be free. And so we've got to keep going. We've got to keep going. Nobody has ever made any real change if you look at history. No empire has ever come down except that people were willing to give their lives. People were willing to give their lives. And that's what's happened here. People are willing to give whatever they have. Many people that are here have sacrificed maybe life, livelihood. Maybe we could have a nice big casino here if people hadn't been working so hard to keep this community a place for human habitation and the habitation of all of creation. We came out here one time, 20 years ago, almost to the day we were out here, and we prayed about the spirits that pervade this area, that there are evil spirits, and the evil spirits are not good, and we prayed to good spirits. We came out here, and we got to go up the road a little farther at that time, till the road that goes to the airport. And when we finished our prayer, we stepped across the line. And at the moment we stepped across that line, black smoke came out of Little Skull Mountain up here, which is a native burial grounds up here. And a plane had crashed. We heard the boom of the plane. It was an experimental plane at that time, now known as the stealth fighter, that did all the bombing in Iraq in both times, the old war and the present war. It was flown by the commanding general of Air Force testing, who came out here to test a new weapon of destruction. And as we prayed on this native land, and we used native herbs and such to infect the land here, somehow the spirits changed. We didn't want that to happen. We didn't want a plane to crash. We didn't want somebody to hurt. But we also didn't want a fighter that was going to go about killing hundreds of thousands of people in Iraq or anywhere else. And so we come here today determined to give the energy, the courage of our lives as our ancestors, our elders, for many generations earlier have done. The other night I had a welcoming home party, two nights ago. Well, Senator Reed did come, and we did ask him about the Divine Strike. We kind of invited him to come out here, and, well, he hasn't made it. But he told us what needs to be done. We said, I walked out to the car with him. What can we do to get out of the war, these wars, to stop nuclear bombs? And he stopped in his tracks. He was very kind of glowing because he got the bill he wanted through the Senate on immigration, so that at least most indigenous people won't be constantly thrown out of the land that their ancestors developed and founded. And he was glad about that. He says, well, what the peace movement has to do is what the immigration movement has to do. We have to get our young people out there in the streets in hundreds of thousands, willing to go to jail, willing to do whatever it takes. We need to be able to do that, and then we need to be right on top of them to make sure they do what they need to do. And that's why we're here. St. Francis brought about a total peace movement of his time. He wore this kind of robe first. And he prayed to the Creator, the source of all creation, in praise, because he said all creation is given to us by the Creator, that we are only one small part of that creation. And he saw all of creation, as Corbin and other spiritual leaders do, as our brothers and sisters of the one mother source of all creation. And so we offer our lives as we come here today. Those of us who are able will go across that. We have to take our white band off when we get to that line over there, and we will give ourselves to say, O source of all creation, give us the energy, the courage, the hope, the love, the compassion that will offer us the ability to give of our lives until that new creation is born, where all of creation lives together as one people, as Corbin reminds us so often, living in peace, harmony, and joy forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
want you people to still stand up, because the plant life will think we're too lazy to be, because the plant life is always from the ground on up. It's really important for us to join the plant life, the animal life, the bird life, and so on and so forth. Those are the reason why the native people always pray early in the morning. I hope you people would recognize our flag as a Shoshone. This is what we stand by. We don't use your flag. Your flag is a little different from ours. It's got stripe in it. Ours got diamonds. We appreciate our flag, that we are proud of it, and so forth. This is something that we have to continuously stand by our flag, just like your people. You stand by your flag. It's really important that I feel sorry for Johnny Bob standing there for many hours so far. It's really important that he is really committed to do what he's doing, to hold our flag in the air. I'm going to pray in my native tongue for all of us. Ask the nature to give us a lending hand. All the plant life, all the animal life, the bird life, some of the creatures that roams this earth of ours. We need to take them and ask them to give us a lending hand, because we were put here to take care of them. They have took care of us for thousands of years before, whether if it's a little creature, whether if it's a big animal. This is something that we have to ask their life to continue. So is ours. All our life, we should continue our life healthier than before. We don't want to destroy this mother of ours. We don't want to destroy the plant life like they've done for us before. The animal life, the bird life, and so forth. This is something that we survived with long time ago. I'm going to ask the nature to give us a lending hand in my native tongue. Ha no hina tsahane nakang mo hina tsahane nana hida mia ha no mi danane chawan ki gine mo hakinanga wei saipan me mo ne wona mia pan me ne wona what ha mo mi danane chawai inga me ko no mi nang sun thai ha no man zare than ne sungan mo ina ne chawai hina tsabasa king no hi chi de thana na bo singa king ha no mo zare than ne sungan mo ina ne chawai hin me ye go mia Sony Kutsana Minang Tai, Mir Tang Namishun Tai, May ye with the Nani Chawai. Ah, Nesogovietzi, Uso, some ye with me upon. Ah, no Hina Tahanan, never Hina Siaka Yingard, never Yingha Yingard, never Yore De, Ah, Nerorishun Tai, May ye with me upon. Though they make some ye with what, Ah, Orishun Tai, Sambum Swanesungan, Bumanasova Yingan, Bumasore and Bevindoy. Ah, who yet Oregaba Nanangaroid. May make an ego in me, Sonic Sanaminang Sundhaimia. Thanks, Namishundhai. Name my Nanichawa, Nanichawa. Thorry making the Soviets, no harm me the manabu in the Indokuta, what on him mears. Ah, same with us Nesungan. Ah, no member Yinka and Sayinga Nesungaroid. May ye with the Nanichawa. Thorry makes a may ye with King Utsi Nanahidan Hutsana. Ah, Thorry make, ha, Thorry make an Anabaruchi. And then I was a chess was a me with me upon. Han a sick show of an unruined hitch. No hint that a soul by the bama of me are with. How they mother came here. May I give me upon. Though they make some me with what? Ha, the way can a minang sun ties them shunta. Ha, no manago joy mere. Heavy mere. tambabu nesungan sogo ba yinga yingaro ha me yego is make no hinda ta sogo ba shika yingar no hinda ta ma ba yinga yingar no hinda ta ma ba yore de ha dore make oration han hot ha bu swa da nesungan bu mana sogo ba yinga yingaro me make ne yego me so ne ku ta ne me nang sund ha ne me sund ha ne me nani chawa de nani chawa ying ha enda ba ne me yego me apan ha ne da ne swa de am be ga ne me yego ha ne da hu ya ga ne me yego kin ne no nai da nani chawa gi ha kin anga we sa pan me yego me apan dore make se me yego ne hot ha dore make tang ne me nang sund ha ne me sund ha ha me ya nani chawa de nani chawa ha dore make ha no make no in da ha ne da ne se mo ta mission time ne mande ambe chidan nan haida me aro ne mande bo phi hagan zan nan haida nuts ha ge ke jan ne da mana bo nu ok ne so bi atar thana wo shu ma ta wo ji nan haida ne mo mo ja on in na wins sum are ambe ban so ba on do wo han ta ne sungan so ba ying ka ying me me ko ne yego me so ne ku ta ne me wang sun da thanks ne mission ta ha ne na ran be chi so so me yego me pan ha ne na so ba ne so si yo gan ne no hin da ta ha ne nan he den ne so re ambe gan me yego kin ne da ne so hu ya gan me yego me yego me ko no hin da ta so ba ying ka ying en ga ba se ka ying ore shon da ne wat bu mo so da ne su gan en ga ba ying ka ying ne mo so en ba ying a me ar ki man ro ta ne pna sa ang ying a me ar me me ko ne yego me so ne ku ta ne me nang sun ta ne me shon ta ha ne me nan cha wa de nan cha wa ha ne na se we es war es me yego me apan ha ne ne so ar se we ne ha ne un so pat se ta ne we mana bu ingen me yego me apan ne un so pat se ge bat ne we sam ngen me yego ha zo me ich so me yego me so kan da go me pa mai hom me ne me so ge bat so pan so wa ingen ta ne de so pa pan ne Kike ke jana na ne go pwendo. Se mo ta se ne won ha ingaro. Me mai ko ne yego me. So ne ko ta ne me nang sun ta ne me shun ta. Ha me yego de na ne chawa. E me na ne chawa hingo me ki ne me shu ha bo hen. Thanks to make so wish. Thang ne me so pa ta da ne me mana boy. Ne me so ta ne de so yego pwendo. Me mai ko ne yego me. So ne ko ta ne me nang sun ta. E ke ne na ne mo ti ne. No ha ne mana go de ma pna. Ha dore me ko mare shun ta. Mare boy thin zions ha bo ma mare goy me bo man gan e bide ko sitan ne ne sungan ha oren gan e sitan ne sunga ha ingar me mai ko ne yego me so ne ko tsama ko ne mian sun da ne mi sun da ne mo me na ne chawa is mo na ne chawa mo me da na ne chawa hingi ne mi nan ga we thai point ha mo me na so we gan de so me ni wona me apan So they make no heat, you see, over ying and say ying and Nesungaro. Ah, the manana, my hindani and high inger. Ah, but some ego pan. Ah, gin, sin, gin, a swahi wepnar. That's no mana bush. This is that Nesungan. May a yego, they can run with the Marishunta. Ta mara Nesungan, Bumanas over ying high inger. No hint at the Haninan hid up now. Same with that Nesungan. May make a yego meal. So they could send a mission time. Ha, in an Arabic. Unda so me yego me apan ne da rabe do an sik so go te go yo engen ha ne won bi te go yo engen me ne won do ku te me yego me apan to le me so ka yego me apan mai ho me ki ne me sho ai we pna zang sun da we do zan ne sun gan ne mo no ka ying ha ying ro so ne ku te na me nang sun ta ne me sun ta ne mo me na ni cha wa na ni cha wa Tads Nesungan, so by the mean crying. Ah, Kiki Jasik saw with the man of whipner. Bum saw no moment, the bash, no moment, in an end crying. So Nikonoik and a midway home. So they make Sonic Sanam Shunta make. There, I run out of tape.
Oh, okay. We're getting pretty close to walk down there, but a couple of things we have to talk about. First, it's really good to have that prayer. Everything we do as Native people, as Indigenous people, we're very spiritual. No matter what you were taught in the public school system, you know, that we are not pagans. We are not devil worshipers. We are very spiritual people. And the proof of that is the power of the prayer. that connects us to the spiritual, Great Spirit, so that the light of the Great Spirit is in every one of you. That's what our elders always told us. When you do something like this, put up the prayer. Bring those spirits to work with you. And they'll work with all of us. I'd like to ask Parrish. Okay. She's going to read a couple protocols. There's been some trainings the past 2 days. Some people, I understand, have already prepared to go across the line to be arrested. They've gone through training. All the peacekeepers, can you raise your hand? So look around. These are the people that have been trained. But also, some of us have also reaffirmed and asked the Western Shoshone National Council, when we come down there, that they're going to remind the people who are there representing the United States of America. They're going to remind them that this is sovereign territories of the Western Shoshone people. That they are here illegally. So however you are prepared, the representatives of the National Council, to do that, we will be there. And some of us, you here who are going to get arrested, you have proof that you are here legally and that you don't recognize the authority that they say they have. That you have, you're under this flag of sovereignty of the Western Shoshone peoples, and that you're here in peace, peaceful, civil, nonviolent disobedience to the laws of that colonial government. So I have a permit, been signed by an official of the Western Shoshone National Council. I guess I could say I enter into a treaty with the Western Shoshone people. But it's good that you're here. But let's respect each other. People who have put this together, it's been many minds, many organizations that have made this possible. It was a call for action by the Western Shoshone people. A lot of other people have been working with them. You know who you are. But there's also a lot of people who work behind the scenes who do not look for recognition, but who are always here, sacrificing themselves. So at this time, I guess Chris and Peggy, let's prepare ourselves. If there's some other people that have reminders, have been part of the organizers for what we're going to do, if you feel there's a little reminder that you need to say, let's do that right now before we just go down there. So we need to kind of be organized as we go down there. So that's where we're at right now.
I just would like to fulfill a request. One of our youngest celebrants out here is Pierre Morton, who is 3 years old. And Pierre wants everyone to give a shout for peace. And so I think that it's just fitting that we all yell, we want peace. One, two, three. We want peace! Yay, Pierre!
Just a reminder to the peacekeepers that if when we get down there you do choose to cross the line, then it's necessary for you to take off your white band, as Father said, so that we do not confuse the corporate paid security guards down there. This is a participant's nonviolent guidelines. As a guest of the Western Shoshone Nation and participant in the Stop Divine Strike Coalition International Day of Action, I agree to abide by the following participants' nonviolent guidelines. I will not bring or use alcohol, illegal drugs, or weapons. I will treat everyone I meet with respect and courtesy and always conduct myself in a dignified and exemplary manner. I will honor the customs and traditional ceremonies of our Western Shoshone hosts and of all our Indigenous friends. I will participate in and help the peace camp community to the best of my ability. If I choose to risk arrest, I will attend the appropriate nonviolence and action trainings and join with an affinity group. If I choose to risk arrest, I assume full responsibility for my actions. If I participate in a nonviolent direct action, I agree to follow the direction of the Affinity Group Spokes Council Action Planning Meeting. If I participate in a nonviolent direct action, I will act in accordance with these nonviolence guidelines. If I am arrested, I will not resist arrest by running away or trying to evade the consequences of my actions. I understand that the Western Shoshone National Council and International Day of Action organizers do not condone or encourage any property destruction. I understand that International Day of Action organizers have limited provisions available for legal support, but neither they nor the Western Shoshone National Council will provide medical expenses that may result from my actions. Thank you, and peace for everybody.
Okay, you organizers, anything other, any announcements?
Just another announcement on behalf of the peacekeepers that people will not be probably released from the cage until people move back from the gate. So after everybody's gone over, don't be hanging around there, because all you're doing is keeping your brothers and sisters in the cage. So when everybody's done their thing, moved over, then get back from there. You can go back to camp, or at least get back a couple hundred yards from where the line is, so that they'll know that we're done and it's time for them to start turning our brothers and sisters loose. Thank you.
So after this is all over, if it's still possible for folks to help donate to cover the cost. Also, we will need some help toward the end of all of this, breaking that stuff down, so we could use your help with that as well. And then there was also some discussion prior to this event of having folks who were involved in pulling the actual event together. If after the arrests and everything are all over, if we could all meet in that tent to have a little bit of a discussion about how it went. So we're asking for that to happen as well afterwards. Thank you.
Okay, and another announcement is the Food Not Bombs group. They are here. And they have prepared some food up there for everyone after we're all done here. I saw someone standing by me, but I've learned not to get started by those things. Okay, Western Shoshone National Council, they are giving out permits by the table for those of you who want to have a permit. I'd like to announce that if any of you get the passion at the last minute to go over the line, make sure you paid your traffic tickets, okay? But you need the permit. You need a permit, and you can make your own statement that you don't recognize the authority, but they will probably go ahead and arrest you, and they will hold you in that little gated area, process you, and let you out. Okay, and there have been plans for those that somehow, for whatever reasons, you're detained. But my understanding is most people will be released, okay? And the peacekeepers know this. And it's my understanding that when we're ready to go here, we will leave and regroup along the road over there. Some of the elders and people that will not be able to walk with us will be hopping in their cars and driving up ahead. So let the cars pass so that they can meet us when we come up there. And what I'm assuming for protocol is that we'll follow the flag of the sovereign nation of the Western Shoshone peoples. Behind this flag, for those people, will be the Western Shoshone Council members, I understand. Some of the elders will be down there, and then we have the native staffs that can fall behind, and all the people will walk. I assume that this go in an orderly way. The peacekeepers usually will walk on the outside, some from behind as well, keeping watch. And again, I think John Wells or some, he's on one of the council members and one of the marshals with the council, someone will read at first. Let's keep it quiet when it's time for them to read their statement or say their statement to the representatives of the U.S. government down there.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out also as we go down and we're at the gate, please don't impede any vehicle traffic that comes in or out. It just gives cause for them to come out and, you know, clear the street. So if a vehicle, cars come in or out, just move to the side, let them through. And that way they will stay on their side of the line and not get in our way. And things will just go smoothly and peacefully.
Mr. John Wells here, if you notice the little badge he has, Johnny Bob has one. They are official marshals of the sovereign nation of Western Shoshone. So they're going to be working with the peacekeepers. Okay, so giving you direction will probably be them as well as the peacekeepers here. Okay, follow with that advice. And I understand that for our brothers and sisters who are going to go across the line and get arrested, for them to get processed, go through the gate and everything, is that they'd like to ask us to step back away from the gate, and they will not release them until we have stepped back. But there will be some guidance on that, okay? Do we want to give some time here for people that are still getting permits? So I guess let's, before we go, one of our brothers that comes from a culture that knows that way has asked, before we go here, he's going to blow the concho. We've asked permission from Corbin Harney. He has granted it. So our brother Tupac Iriki is going to blow this concho. So I guess now it's time to kind of, for the flag to line up, and we're going to blow this concho. Oh, okay. For those of you that are going to get arrested, there are portable satellite outhouses in the pen. That means if you need to go to the bathroom, you weren't planning to get arrested, best go in there. So they're already lining up here. He has his own way. He's going to blow this. That puts a call out, and he's going to blow it to the four directions. So I guess follow his, when he points at certain directions, you can follow his direction and stand in that way. Hey! 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 Mother Earth,
hey.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and we'll just follow that Western Shoshone National Council Nation flag. Just go out, Johnny. And then those that need the ride, go in your cars. We're going to go by to the highway over here and stand there and gather there. So we'll gather over there by the road.
This was produced by the LA Sound Posse and may be freely copied and distributed. You can visit us on the web at lasoundposse.org.